Hi, Scott McKinnon here. We're about to have a live interview with Welsh star and UFC star Brett Johns. We'll get Brett on. We'll ask him some questions about his upcoming fight, how things are going. He's in training camp at the minute. And I know he's been a busy guy. We'll talk all things MMA with him. So yeah, we'll wait for Brett to come on. And if anyone's got any questions, make sure to ask them. And I'll ask them to him. And if people are wondering why I've got my t-shirt on back to front, it's a shirt from Tasteless Tees, and last time I wore it you could only see the logo, you couldn't see the design. Sick design, so go and check them out, Tasteless Tees. Yeah, we'll just wait for Brett to come on and we'll fire away. Gareth, if anyone wants to know about the tees, Gareth, who's from Tasteless Tees, is now watching. He'll be commenting as well, so go and ask Gareth, speak to Gareth.
Yo!
What's happening?
How's things?
Not bad, yourself?
Not too bad, not too bad. Just, I don't know, this camera looks really like zoomed in. It's not, it doesn't look like that. Anyway, that's it. You alright? You all good?
Yeah, you?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Not too bad. Just, having a bit of a chill out Sunday. Watching a bit of TV and stuff. I literally was in the garden, in my girlfriend's garden earlier. And, I just fell straight to sleep. Like, I was, lucky enough, I was clutching on an umbrella because I'm proper ginger skinned, and I just fell asleep in the sun. But I was lucky; I was shaded by an umbrella, so I dodged a bullet there.
So you were walking around like Michael Jackson, staying out of the sun.
Yeah, I was literally. Yeah, I'm not. You know, I love this weather, but not a big fan of the sun. You know.
I like the weather too. I'm not a fan of it either. I'd rather be sat in the shade whilst it's hot instead of directly in it.
That's exactly what I'm like, you know. So I was, I just had a day out chilled because realistically I try and train on like Saturdays and like I have a Sunday off, but like training's been really intense at the minute. So I've kind of, my coach has told me, look, you wanted me to take Saturday and Sunday off this week because it's been a really tough week on the training front. So I was
you
nice
were
to,
somewhere yesterday as well, weren't you? Because I spoke to Danny Williams.
Yeah, and,
I was. Said he was coming to train with you yesterday.
Yeah, I was. We were in the Budo show, and to be honest, it was like a few guys I wanted to see down there, you know. And so I just went down for a little look. I was only there for about half an hour. Managed to get a quick chat with Danny because, all fairness to him, he's kind of one of the leading men up in the North Walian circuit. So it was nice to see him and have a chat. I think he's down in Swansea for 2 days. So I'm not too sure, but I think he might be training with us maybe tomorrow or Tuesday, I think.
Yeah. Well, when I spoke to him, he was highly singing your praises.
Yeah, he's a good guy, Danny is, you know, yeah. And all fairness, he's behind all the... He's like me. He's behind Welsh MMA, and like I said, up his neck of the woods. there's a lot of like Liverpudlians up there, but it was not, there's not many North Whalian Welsh fighters. I think if I can name on the top of my head, you got like someone like Azzy Thomas. You got Azzy Thomas is out for a while now, but you got Azzy Thomas. You got Danny Williams. You got Aaron Abey, I think he's a flyweight.
Yeah.
And Aaron as well. So there's a couple of guys up there now, but obviously down by us, it's like it's more popular than the south of the country, you know.
Yeah, and on the point of Welsh MMA, you're flying the flag for it, and obviously you're in the biggest organisation in the world at the minute. So it's it should give the rest of Wales a bit of a boost to see yourself in there and know that you've come from quite a small country that, like you said, not many fighters are coming from, to give people the extra boost to want to do it and to inspire to be like yourself.
Oh, 100%. You know, this is like when I first, this is what I'm trying to tell people. When I first started, there was no real Welsh guy to look up to. You know, there was a couple of guys who were on the circuit who went quite far. You know, when I started the game, there was people like John Phillips there. Mike Edwards, Jack Marshman was building his name for himself, you know, and but there wasn't that guy who was in the UFC from Wales. So when I first started, I remember being in my dad's old judo gym, and there was like a little tiny room. It must have been like 8 foot by 8 foot. It was a tiny room, and I used to do pads in there before I started doing my judo session. So I think I had the interest there anyway to start off with. You know, it wasn't a case of you know, like, oh, one of my mates, Kyle Davis, who did a bit of MMA, but literally, he'll tell you himself, he did it for a bit of a joke and a laugh, you know. It was like back in the days of like the nightclubs and stuff, he just wanted to be, there's a couple of quid in the weekend, you could have a little punch up and he was happy, you know. And Kyle fought some quite decent guys, you know. Kyle, people don't realize, but Kyle fought Ronnie Mann years ago, you know. Ronnie Mann's not a joke on the circuit. And I remember one of his fights, he fought in like a local nightclub, which has been knocked down now, but it was called Time and Envy, I think it was. And he won his first fight. And put it this, how long ago it was, I wasn't even old enough to leave the house to go and watch it because it was in a nightclub, you know. So I think I've always had that interest there, you know. I'd done judo for years and years and years. And it was something that after I found that my judo career was kind of in a bit of a stalemate, that I wanted to try something different. And I always had that interest anyway, so I thought, oh, we're going to give that a go, I think. And you know, it's been a tough journey so far, and you know, the fights we're getting now are the fights I've always wanted, and now they're getting tougher, and I'm happy with that, though.
Yeah, and like you said, the fights you're getting, the fights that you want now, you're fighting Pedro Munhoz, who's ranked number 10, and obviously in the game, you always want to try and better yourself, you want to fight tougher opponents and stuff like that. And the show that you're fighting on August 4th as well, it's a big show, obviously. Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw too.
Yeah, it's a massive show. It's the first ever time that like a Welsh guy's ever fought on like a numbered event. So it's like UFC 227. It's a massive honour yet again, you know. But my last fight card was, I know it was only a fight night, but it was huge for me. I was on the card with Edson Barboza, Kevin Lee, Cub Swanson, Frankie Edgar, and they stick me on the main card, and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm next to these guys. You know, unfortunately, the result didn't go my way, of course. But I look back at that, and like, you know, people always tell me, oh, look, you know, you need a loss to learn and all this rubbish, really. But for me personally, it was, I think it was a bit mental this time, you know. It wasn't so much my physical or my skills or anything. Because I've come back home now, and people are like, oh, well, so what have you worked on? I'm like, well, nothing really. I haven't worked on anything at all. I haven't worked on my boxing. I haven't specifically worked on weaknesses from that fight, because I truly believe that it was an off night. You know, I fought in a cage 21 times my whole life, you know, and I've performed every single time other than my last fight. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. If I go in there and give 100% and I lose, then I kind of have my dignity there, because I think I'll give my best there. I had so much more to give in that fight, and I didn't think I was mentally switched on. And like I said, I wasn't in a good place in that fight, you know. And but my mindset already for this fight is completely different to my last fight. And I'm a lot more excited. I'm a lot more happier, you know. At the end of the day, for me, the last one was a case of like, I kind of, you could say I fell out of love with the sport, you know. It was just repetitive, and like things were going wrong for me, like mentally going wrong for me in the gym, you know. I felt like I was coasting through training. Like the guys in the gym, like they beat me up, you know. People ask me about that gym movement, or when are you going to move gyms, when are you going to do this, when are you going to do that. Like every single person in the gym with me is better than me at one aspect of the sport. For example, I have a grappling partner who is fighting on the Polaris show next week, Ashley Williams. He's fighting in Minari, you know, a leg lock specialist. I got him. I train with him on a daily basis, you know. So you got him. He's whooping my ass on the BJJ mat, you know. Then I got two guys then in the gym with me, Scott Pedersen and Aiden James, who, all fairness to them, are electric strikers. I stand with them guys and they're knocking my head off, you know. And then I do bits and bobs with Curtis Dodge, who was a bronze medalist, Commonwealth Games wrestling, you know. And I got all these guys, you know, it's literally like a Swiss Army knife of people ready to use, you know. And that's why I haven't moved, you know. I'm happy where I am. I'm only 20 minutes away from the gym in my house. My girlfriend also lives only 20 minutes away from the gym, you know what I mean? So I got basically a choice of two houses I go to, and then the gym's in between. So for me, it's ideal. And people are like, I've got this far with the skill set I've got, but there's so much more to gain from back home. And so, I mean, it's like people kind of look for that. A lot of people who move gyms where things are not going well in their own gym, you can still benefit from your own gym. Like, I'm a big believer of staying loyal to your teams and all this, you know. And I think your teams are the people who get you there. You stay loyal to them. And like my best friends, I stay loyal to them because they're the guys who stand on the front line with me every day when we're sparring, and I'm very loyal to them, and I want to give something back. And like I said, you know, we got so much more to gain. I truly believe that I'm getting better and better each day. And you know, on August 4th, I want to show the world how different. A lot of people write me off for this. A lot of people are. I'm the underdog in this fight. And believe it or not, I'm happy with that. I'm really happy with that. I want to be the underdog. You know, I look on the Vegas odds, -150 Munoz or whatever, +150 Jones. I'm happy with that. Write me off, because they're gonna get shocked. I mean it. You know, Munoz is a phenomenal fighter. Phenomenal. He's got a killer guillotine. But honest to God, I couldn't give a shit, because I'm coming to get that W. I have to, for my mindset, for everything in this camp. I have to get this W. It sounds cliche. I need a win. I need this win. Of course, I need a win. But I need it mentally. I need this win. You know what I mean? I've a lot of people who are watching this probably know me well, and they know how much I've sacrificed to get where I am. And I don't want to waste it all. I really don't, because I truly believe I can get that belt. I truly believe it. I wouldn't be here talking to you unless I thought I could. You know, if I truly believe I wouldn't get there, I would stop what I'm doing and pursue another dream. This is something I want to do, and I've dedicated my life to it, and I truly believe I can get there.
And like you said, it's people ask you why you haven't moved gyms and stuff like that. If you were fighting people who are less than you in aspects of it, and you were going around the gym and you were beating everyone up at everything, so you were tapping people out at wrestling, or you were putting people on their ass whilst you're sparring and stuff, it wouldn't benefit you. It could potentially go the wrong way. It could give you false confidence, because if people aren't better at it than you, you're never going to learn. So if you're submitting people who aren't as skilled as you or up on your level, and then you go into your fight and you think, well, I'll put everyone on their ass, or I've submitted everyone in the gym, and then you go in there, it could be a massive shock.
Oh, of course, yeah. And like I said, I truly, you've got to be pushed in the gym. You have to be pushed in the gym. Full stop, you got to be. And I always am. I'm always pushed every single day when I go to the gym, every single session, whether it's a strength and conditioning session with Taylor, or it's just a no-gi grappling session with, I'm always pushed. I'm always leaving the gym absolutely out of breath. And but like I said, you know, this is me as a person. I train as hard as I can. Even the last camp, look, I trained as hard as I could. And I look back at that last camp and think, physically, could I have done anything else different in that camp? And the answer is no. The same as the fight before that. The same as the fight before that. Same as the fight before that. The same this fight. I cannot physically train any harder than what I am now. It's almost impossible. I got to take a 2-day rest day because I couldn't walk yesterday. Today, no, I'm walking with a bit of a limp, and my coach is going, "Why are you limping for? Why are you limping?" I'm like, you know, I'm trying to brush it off. I'm okay. I'm fine. But Chris, he's not stupid. He knows when I pushed it. And like, it's a good thing with me. Like, I've got that bad habit that, you know, people always have weaknesses and flaws when it comes to training. Like, for example, you know, some people, they got to get the course to fall. And when I get to the gym, I'm the opposite. You know, Chris is like, what are you doing now? Or I'm just off the session. No, you're not. You're going to stay in and you're going to rest, you know. But it's always, I've always been like that. And, but I would prefer to be like that. I prefer to overtrain and undertrain. Because when I'm not training, this thing goes absolutely, it just works overtime. It does. And it's nice to be that end of the scale and not have to be told I got to go training. Because once I get told I got to go training, it gives me anxiety. I'm like, I'm not training hard enough. But Chris will always tell me, look, mate, sorry, I think I went off then. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I thought I'd lost you for a second.
My girlfriend called me in the middle of that chat then, sorry. So she's not watching, she'd know otherwise.
Oh, she's missing out. Yeah, we've got a few questions. Liam True Love's put, when will Brett Johns be added to EA Sports UFC 3? Just lost Brett. I think he got a phone call. I'll add him back and hopefully get him back in. I keep questions coming through and I'll try and get through as many as possible.
Nightmare. Sorry. I just told my girlfriend off now, so she's she knows.
I've got a few questions. I'll ask you what your fans have asked you.
Right, okay.
When will Brett Johns be added to EA Sports UFC 3?
That's the most common question. That is generally it, like, you know. But like, I remember like obviously fighting Soto, and like a lot of people saying, "Well, Soto's in the game," and I thought, "All right, okay. Well, maybe when I beat Soto, you know, they'll put me in the game." Then they put then obviously I fought Aljo, and they're like, "He's still not in the game yet," you know. It would be, I'd like that. I'd like to be involved in the game. I really would. There'd be a big. That'd be a big positive for me, especially as a youngster. Like I said, I'm going really into detail now with this story, but when I was starting MMA, I was watching a bit of MMA. UFC Undisputed 2008 come out on like Xbox 360 as a demo, you know. And I'm not sure if any of the guys remember, but there was four sets of fighters on the demo, I think. There was Chuck Liddell and Shogun Rua, I think. And I think the other one was like Forrest Griffin. I'm not too sure. But I remember going over my friend's house, and he'd always have house parties in the house, and we'd always play UFC Undisputed. I loved that. And like to be involved in the game then, that would be a really big thing, because I know the boys in the council not far from, well, like I live in the council in Swansea, council state in Swansea in Pont de l'Ice. On the corner for me is like obviously my mates who I grew up with. They'd go wild if they ever saw me on a game, you know.
But I know my friend, he's a professional footballer, and I always say to him, like, he's on FIFA, and I'm like, how do you feel? Like, you're on a computer game, and he's like, I'm just, like, just normal, and I'm like, you're on FIFA, like.
He's cool with it, you know, that would be amazing, especially, like, you know, just to be a character that people can pick, because loads of people, like, mess me, saying, oh, look at this character, it's you, and they've obviously made me, but to be a named character on a game, oh, actually, I'll fight as Brett Johns now. I've always wanted to fill myself in, so it'd be quite cool, I would.
Yeah, Luke Jones has put, if you could pick any other sport to do professionally, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a few, you know. Like, I've worked a lot the last few months on boxing. You know, I've been working with a partner called Darren Wilson, who's been with me for years. And Darren's done a fantastic job on, like, even the last fight, it wasn't technically my best performance, even on the boxing front. But people noticed a massive difference in the box, and that's thanks to Darren. We had a lot more to show from that fight, but maybe boxing would have been a nice one. You know, I'm a massive Joe Calzaghe fan. That would be an amazing little. That would be amazing to try and go into boxing, and I love all the boxing belts. I love like the WBA, the WBO, the IBF, the WBC, the ring, you know, the IBO. I love all them sort of belts, you know, and if anybody knows me, I've got a little like, I'm trying to collect a load of box, different styles of boxing belts. And I want all these belts to be signed by Welsh boxing champions. So the first belt I bought was the IBO, and turns out there's only apparently one guy that's ever won it in Wales with the IBO belt. I've also bought my favourite like belt is the British Lonsdale title. I think that's an absolutely stunning belt, you know. So I bought them, and hopefully I'd like to get them signed by like Welsh champions who already won them. But I'm boxing was one of them. But I'd be lying if I said football as well, you know. I absolutely love watching Wales, you know, and I'm being a football player. For starters, you don't get punched as much. And second, you get a lot more money. So playing football would be massive for me, you know. I would love to obviously play for Wales, you know. Because I get that, like, when you walk out to a fight and you see the Welsh flags, you get that buzz. And I always think, as a football player looking at that, that would be hell of a buzz as well. And I kind of miss that. I'd love to sing my national anthem and stuff before playing, you know. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, I always say to people, like, I think the biggest honour you could ever have is representing your country. Whereas in fighting, you don't really get that. But
yeah,
for you yourself, you kind of are, like, the only fighter in the UFC that's from Wales. So, like, you're representing your whole country in the whole organisation out of a roster of 500 fighters. So it kind of worked out the same.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, I feel like at the minute, you know, things are going like really well. Obviously, even though the last fight was a negative, still feel like I'm one of the leading men in Welsh MMA. Obviously, we got Jack and John as well, who were also there. They're trying to get back on track themselves, the same as me. But you know, at the minute, we're in the top 15 in the world. You know, we're ranked 14th, but like I said, I don't want to be known to be like, oh, look, Brett was one of the top 15 fighters in the world one time, you know. I want to be the guy who gets the belt, you know. I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who people go, actually, you know, Brett was a UFC champion. And so obviously it's nice, it's lovely, because the support I get to this day is incredible. Not just from Wales, you know. I know I use the Welsh flag, and I am behind Wales through and through. I am a Welshman, you know, but I get support all over the UK, erupt the world, and I appreciate every single comment. You know, sometimes I wake up to some negative comments. Who doesn't? You know, it's the fight game. People have their opinions, you know. But for me personally, it's a blessing in disguise to see the support, and being Welsh and represent the Welsh people. Like I said, I grew up watching a lot of Welsh sport, like watching Shane Williams play rugby, or watching Gareth Bale play football, you know, or watching Joe Calzaghe boxing. Yeah. And even back then as a kid, I thought that must be a hell of a feeling. And now I feel like I'm kind of slotting that category with them guys, and it's blessing, it really is.
Good stuff. Dean Cutler's put John always Team John's always knew you'd make it the big time. Hashtag UFC.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there who literally every day I wake up to some nice comments. And on my bad days where I wake up and I'm aching or I'm not feeling the best, you know, that them comments will get you through the day, you know. And even on the negative front, a lot of negative comments will get me through the day, you know. And I always try and respond back even to the negative comments, you know. I think it's quite funny to try and get underneath people's skin when they're trying to get underneath yours. But the positive comments I get are overwhelming, you know, especially in this game, because sometimes you, like I said, at the last camp I was going through a bit of a rut, and to have them people who are watching you, who are supporting you in your bad times, and they're still there supporting you. Because to be honest, I thought I was going to come to my first loss and things were going to be a lot worse than what they've turned out to be, you know. I'm a type of person who always thinks of the worst, not the best. Always the worst.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a big thing. Obviously, I never wanted the last fight to go the way it did. And obviously, the amount of times I've probably mentioned over this interview, people understand that it's a very frustrating thing for me. But now it's happened, and I've seen the support afterwards. It just pushes me to keep positive and get back in that win column, you know. People might say it's... I heard someone put them on the internet. They think it might be a bit too early to come back. But, you know, I didn't take a big shot in the last fight. I understand people's... I understand people like obviously worrying about me, but I didn't take many big shots in the last fight. Yes, it was a good fight. It was a scrap, but You know, I didn't take much big shots to the face. I felt good. I went to New York. I had 3 days there with my girlfriend. I got straight back into camp. So since, like, you could say since, like, the end of April to now, I've been training 6 days a week, three times a day. You know, that's what I've been doing. And it's the right time. And it's nice to get given an opponent. Like, Aldemir was eighth. Now we get Pedro, who's 10th. And it was nice. It feels like the UFC have that, like, they got that belief in me. Otherwise, I'd be stuck. I'd be like, or someone, they'll throw someone in from the top 20 to try and get into the top 15. But it's nice, you know. It's nice to get that Pedro Munhoz shot. I've watched a lot of him over the last, like, you know, week or so. I've watched a lot of him. Stylistically, it's a tough fight, don't get me wrong. But I'm happy. I'm really happy because in my mind, you know, the top 15 in the world, I'm going to fight every single one of them. So what's the difference between fighting Pedro Munhoz now or in 6 months' time? I think skill-wise, I feel good. I do better on shorter camps. You know, I think my and I mean mentally and physically, my body starts breaking down after like 10 weeks in camp. And like, literally the last fight with Sterling, we found out 12 weeks before the fight we were fighting him. And Chris is like, well, I want you to take your time. But once I know a name, I get into the gym, I train. You know, that's me through and through. You can't tell me a fight name and then expect me not to be in the gym, you know. So the last camp was 12. The last camp when we knew about the opponent was 12 weeks. This time it's only 5. But I've been training since I got back from April. But no stress is about who's the opponent, who's this, who's that, until 5 weeks out. My UFC debut was on 3 weeks' notice. You know what I mean? I'm always in the gym and I'm always ready to go them 3 or 5 rounds if needed. You know, I feel fit. I feel strong. My weight is coming down. Don't get me wrong, mine a few weeks back, I was quite big. You know what I mean? Weight-wise. But that's come down nicely now, and we're just getting back into the flow of things now.
Good stuff. Jay Thomas has put, do you miss the old fight scene?
Yeah, man, I do. Yeah, I miss that's a good question, because I really do. For example, I remember my British title fight, I fought a good friend of mine, Joe Ory. And Joe's a cracking guy, absolute cracking guy. And I just remember, you know, weighing in the day before. And then it was only in Newport, which is like, what, maybe 50 miles from my house. You'd go up there on a Saturday, you'd spend the time with all the boys. And then you warm up in the change room. You'd have 60, 70 of your fans there. And they'd go bonkers when you walked out. And that's kind of like, it hasn't gone. It's only going to get bigger from you, but it was good. It was like that cliche thing. I'm gonna have a punch up, I'll be back home in the morning. You know, now it's like, you know, you're half the world away, you know what I mean? And instead of like, you've got 60, 70 people watching you got about 10, 12, you know. Don't get me wrong, that number's only gonna get bigger and better, but still the old fight scene is I love that. As even as an amateur growing up, my biggest regret, because my career has turned out better. 10 times better than what I expected it to come turn out. But my only kind of like regret was maybe not having more amateur fights. You know, I had like 5 semi-professional fights and that was it. While the guys now in our gym, like the Scott Pedersons, the Ben Mileses, the Ashley Rips, they're getting like, they want to get 20 odd amateur fights in before they go pro. And I would have liked to have done that. But then again, my career hasn't turned out bad, even though I had 5 amateur fights. So, I love the old scene. I love the local circuits, not just in Wales. There's a lot. I love the shows up in like Newcastle, Made for the Cage. I love that show with Dale Percival. You got obviously Harry Shoebridge down in London with WFS. There's a lot of good promotions around them areas. You know, obviously Shaky, who had Pain Pit, but now was Cage Warriors Wales. That was amazing. The Liverpool cards, even the small ones, are fantastic. You know, and I kind of miss that now. You know, that stage of my life has gone for the minute. Don't get me wrong, things could go south and I could be back on these promotions, but for the minute it doesn't look likely that I'll be back on them promotions. But I would love to have, do you know, just that one more fight on a show like that.
Yeah,
I get like, I when I turn up and watch the boys fight, I get like that little itch. I'm like, oh, I'd love to be fighting on a show like this now, you know.
So does that give you more incentive to try and bring a UFC to Wales? Obviously, I've heard a lot of people talking about it. Obviously, we've had Darren Till take one to Liverpool. So, is the plan to get one to Wales?
That is the plan, you know. And there was a lot of things after the Sterling fight I wanted to get out there, you know. for me personally, number one was the person I was going to call out after Aljamain. So obviously, losing that fight, we didn't get that opportunity. Then it was the next thing was obviously shouting about a Welsh card. I think obviously at the minute, you know, I feel like at the minute, you know, I am one of the leading men. I feel like I'm still 2-3 fights away from even shouting about something, making noise, you know. So I feel like maybe 2-3 fights, then I can start shouting about that. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to be the first guy to be. Like I said, I want to bring it to Wales, but I don't only want to bring it back to Wales. I want to bring it back to Wales, and I want to be main event in Wales. You know what I mean? I want to be the guy who fronts it all. And I believe it or not, I've been a main event in the Motorpoint Arena in Cardiff. You know, first world title in Cardiff. It was the first ever time Welshman's ever won a world title. That was in the Cardiff Motorpoint. People say it's too small. I think we could get away with it, but we'll have to wait and see for the UFC officials to pick on that. But everybody's had their card in the UK. Everybody's had their card, even in Ireland. You've had Dublin, you've had Belfast, you've had Glasgow. And by the way, Glasgow was bonkers. You know, it was one of my favourite like events to fight in. Definitely, I love Glasgow. I love the city. You've also had Manchester, Liverpool, London. Wales has never had it. We haven't even come close to it. We've never had it. So, you know, that would be something. That, of course, that would be something on my bucket list. That would be up there with even winning the belt, trying to bring it back to Cardiff and be a main event. That would be, in my opinion, just as good as winning the belt. You know, and like I'd be lying. You know, watching Till walk out this week, Caroline, just put the hairs on end. You know what I mean? And I miss that, especially coming from like a football background where like our songs and chants is a big thing with us with Wales football. I'd love that, you know. I'd love to bring that back to Wales, and it's just a matter of like, you know, it's a matter of time and wins, you know. At the end of the day, this is as brutal as a sport gets, but people remember winners; they don't remember losers. You know, I live by that rule, and I need to get back in the win column before I start shouting about anything like that. You know,
you just have to do it on social media now. All UFC fighters are doing it on Twitter and stuff like that, and you get a shot.
Yeah, I'm starting to be a bit more. I'm starting to be a bit more chops here on Twitter now, you know. I think I don't use Twitter a lot anyway, so I think if I get suspended or chucked off Twitter, as long as my Instagram's okay, I don't care, you know.
Dean Cutler's put, what was your favourite finish of all your fights? It's got to be the calf slicer.
Yeah, I think there's two in my list, okay. Three in my list, which I think they were big at the time. People don't believe me when I say this, but the calf slice was disappointing for me. That was, you know, like, don't get me wrong. People say you should like look. The sub was obviously something that I was happy with. Of course, you know, it was 30 seconds. Like, I've had 4 UFC fights and broke my nose in 3. So that was the only fight I didn't do it was with Soto. That was nice, but like, I'm the type of guy who loved the fight, and I didn't get that thing there, you know what I mean? I didn't like, it sounds crazy, like, you know, because I'm the opposite of most fighters. I didn't like that early finish, you know. I didn't like it. I didn't,
because obviously if you train for, like you said, you're 10-12 weeks and it's over in 30 seconds, it's kind of
that's
wasted
exactly
a
why
little
I didn't
bit.
I didn't like it. That's why I didn't like it. So that obviously that the calf slicer, for just the whole buzz around it, you know, the amount of like people talking about it was huge for me. But my two favourite finishes, one was on Cage Warriors. I fought James McAllister, who at the time was an amazing guy. I think that's why that finish for me was special, because James was a really good guy. It wasn't as if I had it over a tomato can. Like, James was 7-1 and fought the who's who on the UK circuit, you know. And like, I remember watching the highlights of his fight before mine. He fought Steve McCoon, who's a footlock specialist. And put it this way, it was like a scene from Kerry, the film. You know, there was blood. There was a blood everywhere. So that wasn't nice to go off that. So I had so much fear going to that fight and nerves that was a big win for me. And the second one was Wael Watson and Titan. You know, winning my second world title in Titan FC. That was a major thing, and it was a good sub. You know, it was a standing related choke over a very high level jiu-jitsu guy, and that was a big win as well. Of course, the sort of fight was. I think that's a given, you know. I think people say for the buzz of my career, that it'll always stand out, that calf slicer, no matter what, you know, that'll always be remembered. So, like, my most famous would be the calf slicer, but then again, my favorites were them ones, you know.
So obviously, you had so much hype and attention, sorry, about the calf slicer, and it was nominated for submission of the year at the MMA awards. How was that? Was that like a bit of a shock? Because obviously, it's you're just doing your job, really.
Yeah,
and doing it well.
Yeah, it was a shock, but then again, for me, it was like I wanted to win the thing. Like, you know, a lot of people thought they were like, "Oh, look, you've just been nominated for." I didn't really want to get nominated. I wanted to win the thing, but at the end of the day, I was up against like Demetrius Johnson, and people are arguing that it was a better sub or mine was better. Like, it was a fantastic submission, I'll be honest with you, but I think a lot of people were like, it's a lot to do with the popularity contest as well. You know, at the end of the day, he's the greatest of all time. And then again, though, the sub for me, when I look at the sub and like they come up to me and they said, "Look, it's one submission of the year," I wasn't shocked. You know what I mean? It was the case of like I was bitter. I thought, yeah, it was quite good. You know, so it was good though. It's still, you know, it's still nice that I'm getting recognized for that. You know, I always said though, to even be nominated for something like that would be huge, and it was, and I'm very thankful for it.
And obviously, it's getting your name out there as well. So if you can finish fights like that and get nominated, like you said, it's an achievement to get nominated. So if people are looking at that, and then, like, if not in a bad way, but if people don't recognize the name, if they're more Bellator fans than they are UFC fans, and they say, "Oh, calf slicer," they're going to go on the internet and check out who you are and stuff. So it's gaining more fans that way as well.
Of course, you know, and that's what I want as a person. I just want people to keep supporting me through this game, you know, because people don't understand how much of a push that is for fighters when they get support, you know, and you get a lot of hate as well, and that's also a good push, but but no, it is good, and I got a lot of fans out there anyway, you know. I got so many people that follow my story, but it can only grow from you, and like I said, the next big step for me is the 4th of August, and it's not just a big step, it's a leap, you know, and I've always wanted to get into that top 10. It's always been a bit of a dream of mine, and I get the chance now, you know. I win over Pedro, probably stick me in 10th position. Yep. That's the top 10 in the world, and I'll be ecstatic over that, you know.
Luke Jones has put, "Thanks for the chat on Monday. It really helped with my performance this weekend."
Yeah, you know, Luke is one of the guys who I know very well, who's a hand cyclist, you know, and he's out in Holland this weekend, and like we had a little chat before he raced, and I was, you know, and then he pushes me and I push him, you know. It's nice to have a little chat with him, and he said, "Oh, look, you know, I just want to get in the top 25 and he came 20th on the Friday and then came 16th yesterday, so he's Luke's doing an amazing job, all fairness to him, and he can still go. I'm sure he'll get better results than that, you know. Considering he thought he was going to get a lot higher than what he did, I'm sure he can go a bit higher up the top 10 scale, you know.
David Williams has put, "Let me have one of your Stony jackets."
Everybody loves the Stony jacket. Everybody loves it, they do, you know. As people know, I'm a big fan of my fashion, you know. And I watched Liam Gallagher do a concert in Italy in this jacket about 2 weeks ago, and I just fell in love with the thing, you know. So that's one of my things. I got a nice little Stone Island and CP company collection. But that's like, I go through like these crazy phases as like a fighter. Like, people have hobbies. Like, I go through about 3 or 4 and they're in a cycle, you know. So like, I like painting sometimes. Then I like to go with my fashion. Then I go on to my racing, my rally cars, you know, and I go back to these circles over and over and over again. And but at the minute, there's fashion and following the football and stuff. So I got a lovely trip. Sorry, guys. Let me just... 2 seconds. There we go. I got a lovely trip booked for Denmark away. That's September the 9th. I got, with the football, I got Ireland home on like the 6th, I think it is. And then I got Millwall away on the 1st of September. So a busy week when I come back from the fight. But like I said, it'd be nice to be celebrating and not drowning my sorrows this time.
Good stuff. Conan Flowers put, will your camp include sessions in the First Choice Fitness?
I have done bits in First Choice, you know. Like I said, that's where I do my pads with Darren, you know. I travel about an hour up the road, up the M4, and I I guess sessions in with Darren. That's like the main base where I do most of my like my boxing, my pads and stuff. So I do bits and bobs there. Also do a little bit of cardio maybe after one or two of them sessions. Then I go back to Total Fitness. So that's where most of my strength and conditioning and cardio is held up. And then obviously Chris's is where I got a lot of the sparring and most of the work really. That's headquarters. That is for me. And you know, it's I'm in like loads of different. I'm in loads of different gym doing different things, but my headquarters is at Chris Street Academy, you know.
David Williams has put Millwall away with who?
I got a couple of boys who I know that one of the boys, James Chilley, who's actually invited me about 20, 30 different away days. He's out in a stag do this time, so he can't make it. So I know one of my closest mates is on about going, so I'm looking forward to going with them. You know, that'll be a good little trip away, and just that little like bit after the fight, that month or two after the fight, is nice to me, you know, especially when I've got things to strive, like not strive for, but I've got things to look forward to. Like I'm gonna come back from the fight. I got like obviously a few things back home in August time, holding my girlfriend, and then you got the football, and then it's back to work then. So it's like it's nice to have these little goals to look forward to after a fight. And like I said, the last fight I had nothing to look forward to. Like I said, I was in New Jersey after the fight. I drove up to New York. I thought New York was really it was too busy for me. It was a bit hectic, and I come back and trained. I didn't have nothing to look forward to. But this time, you know, after the next fight, that'll be nice little month or two just to relax, then get back into it.
So no short fight notices after this one.
Like I said, it completely depends on the result, you know. I say that all the time, you know. I'd love to take some time off, you know. Like, I'm not exactly a lazy fighter. I've been active now for a while, you know, since November 2016. I fought four times, but with five scheduled fights, you know, including the Entwistle pullout on the day of the fight. I've had five since then, so it'll be six in August. So, you know, I've been busy, you know, and depending on the result, we'll see whether we're back in the new year or if we're going to be back in December. To be honest, it's nice to have a fight before Christmas, you know, and have Christmas off. So we'll see there.
So obviously, once you've finished your fight, when do you fly out? Do you prefer going out there a couple of weeks before, or like how soon is it that you go out to when you go like to the States and stuff?
So, like, this fight's obviously in LA, which is only down the road from Vegas. The Joe Soto fight was amazing. We had the PI complex there. And, like, no, if you haven't seen the UFC PI Institute, it's absolutely amazing, you know. And as a fighter, if you're fighting in America, you want to be taking full advantage of that. So I think we're planning on leaving about the 21st of July, maybe the 22nd of July, heading out to Vegas, spending a week there. And then from there, then we're going to drive to LA, meet up my coaches and my training partners, and then we're going to do the little bit down in LA, you know. So it's, you know, we're going to go out there 2 weeks before, like I did last time, you know. A lot of the sponsors really helped out with that. So the sponsors exactly for this next fight is going to be obviously a massive asset, and they've been brilliant. Like, you know, like, for example, like Watches of Wales, the Bridge Langenach, they were amazing help to me, especially the Bridge, especially all of them, because they were there from like they were there before the UFC call up was there, so they've been really supportive. Tanabe, Total Fitness, you know, them guys as well also helped me out with like media stuff, cameras for going out there and videoing, documenting it all. And obviously Total Fitness was a big thing with my weight cutting, obviously doing a lot of cardio there. There was a Wise Property Investments, that's Luke Jones's thing, that is, you know, the guy's been asking questions. Luke also helped out with that as well. And people don't understand that the sponsorship side of things for fighters, well, for me anyway, 100% for me, that money doesn't go in my pocket. It makes my time a lot easier out in Vegas. And I just, like I said, I truly appreciate that. And like, people go out their way to make sure that they really help me. And it doesn't go without me noticing. So I'm very thankful to them. And without them sponsors, it wouldn't happen. I'd have to leave a lot later. I'd have to like deal with, it'd be harder on the weight cut. It'd be harder obviously on the water retention of the flight. It'd be harder on getting there and feeling comfortable. You know, I'm going to be out there 2 weeks before. I can relax when I'm out there. When you're fighting the week before, you land straight to the fighter's hotel. you're doing jobs all week. You know, it'd be nice if when we're in Vegas for the first week, we'll glide to LA, meet up with the team, and take my time through it all. But like I said, it's a big thing. So like I said, without the sponsorship, that trip away to Vegas beforehand is not possible. So like I said, I'm very thankful to them.
Yeah, and obviously, like you said about the Performance Institute, we've seen it on the Ultimate Fighter and stuff. And I actually watched a video on YouTube when they released it and stuff like that. And people have been posting about it on social media and stuff because obviously they can help you with your weight cut and stuff like that. And because obviously you're signed with the UFC, it's free. So, like, I can't remember who it was, but I seen someone have a shot yesterday at another fighter on Twitter about it because they were saying, people who are missing weight and not using the Performance Institute are mad. It's free, yet they're paying people to help them with their nutrition and still missing weight.
Yeah, and not only that, the people they're paying, they're not like jokers either. Like, you know, these guys are like, if for example, Heather does like, they got like a little like mini little like athlete hospital in there. You know, they got like a mini, it's like a little mini like athlete surgical, whatever they call it, room. And one of the girls in there is called Heather, you know, and Heather was with the US Olympic team for three Olympics. So there was two Summer Olympics and a Winter Olympics. And she was like the physiotherapist for them trips. They got her working there, you know, and to not take advantage of something like that would be very silly in my opinion. And when I was out there, because originally when I went out there, I was like, I probably won't use it that much, you know. But it's so convenient, it's so much easier, and it just makes your life so much better, you know. And not only that, and they're really friendly, and they want to help you. Because like they say that as soon as you walk through the door, we get paid to help you, and we get paid to like talk to you and to do different things, and that's what they want to do. So it just makes your job so much easier, like, you know.
Luke Jones has put, if Dana White said to you, right, Brett, give us a name of someone you think should get a UFC shot, who would it be? That's a good question, actually.
Oh, so anybody outside the UFC who deserves a shot? Let me think now. Obviously, it's Jack Shaw, you know. Jack Shaw is fighting for that Cage Warriors bantamweight title. If I'm going off just Welsh fighters now, you know, there's only one name that really stands out, and that's it. That is Jack, you know. He's coming off the wins, you know. He hasn't lost as a professional or an amateur. So Jack would be obviously the next name, you know, and I fight a bantamweight as well, which is probably his natural weight class. He should really get the shot next, and I'm sure that when he does win that belt, that call won't be too far away. You know, I'd have loved to see him fight Nathaniel Wood, obviously for that Cage Wars. That would have been a good fight. That would have, all fairness, but Nathaniel signed, but that's potentially a fight for the UFC in the future. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, I'm gonna let you go and enjoy the rest of your night. Your day of rest. I appreciate you taking your time out to talk to me.
That's no problem. Thank you for having me. You know, at the end of the day, it's nice for the people to know what the score is in camp and how things are going. And like I said, you know, because the fight's been a little bit short notice, I haven't done much interviews, so it's nice for people to know what's going on, that I'm not going crazy in my house. So everything's going good. Thank you for interviewing me, and fingers crossed, because I know August the 4th, they're gonna see a different me in there, and I think people are gonna say that's him, that's the old Brett John. So I'm looking forward to showing that.
Good stuff. So yeah, if you want to give any shout outs to anyone or anything like that, or sponsors, then fire away.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to while I got you, because I just finished a bottle of water. The guys, why did you go for me now? Anyway, Love Hemp. I think it's back to front now because it's on the selfie camera.
Yeah, it is.
Love Hemp Water, who have been absolutely amazing. So they're the new guys on board. The British Langenach, it's a special shout out to them because they've been there. They were the first original sponsor. Thank you to them. Paul from Watches of Wales, you know, he also has been a massive asset to this operation. You know, Luke Jones with Wise Property Investments, who's always there. He's always the first guy to give me a text and stuff. So thank you, Luke. Iros and Tanabe who help me out every time. They always film me, making sure I get the most publicity I can from every fight. MMA Wales as well with the podcasts and stuff. Total Fitness, who have been amazing. There's loads of guys who have been there and very thankful, and it's an honour. as well as my kit sponsor, who without them I'd be grappling in the nude because I go through so much kit. Tatami and Combat Athletic, them guys have been a brilliant, and they make sure I'm stocked, and I've got like a bag full of stuff to take out to the US now, brand new. They always look after me, and I'm very thankful to Dave and Gar and the boys. Thank you to them, and like I said, you know, thank you to my family, my friends, and last but not least, my team. You know, they've been there since day one. Thank you to them. Thank you to my training partners who stand on the front line. Thank you to Chris and my coaches, Darren, Ash, and all that. You know, and I'm gonna go out there on the 4th of August, and I'm gonna try and do it for all them, do it for Wales, do it for everybody.
Good stuff. I just want to give a quick shout out to CBD Live. That's back to front as well. I don't know how you do it this way. They've jumped on with my podcast as well. There's a competition on my page as well to win some free stuff. If you check them out as well, use discount code MONSTARS15.
Yeah.
Also, check out Ultimate Fighting Outlet. They do everything from tape, gum shields, gloves, wraps, the lot. Go and check them out on Twitter, any social media, and use discount code MONSTARSMMA and Tasteless Tees as well. Got a new logo coming from Tasteless Tees, hopefully very, very soon. And with the competition with CBD Life, I'll be giving in a free hat as well with my logo on it. So
you're helping them people out, them fans out.
Yeah, so they're jumping on board and helping me, so it's the least I could do to give back. So yeah, again, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I look forward to watching you get the win on August 4th.
There you go. Thank you again. Well, thank you. I'll speak to you soon, brother.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much.
Ta-da.